British chick. What
Love
is she doing?
Talk Radio.
Oh, it's all weird and ethereal here in Eerie House. The house, the eeriest of house, the first in Eerie, whatever. Welcome one, welcome all. It's been a hell of a week. Halloween for Dale K and Eerie House a little bit. First of all, it was a great week. I mean, we had a good weekend of programming, but Livestream decided to give us some ass ache. So, I decided to rerun on E-House TV. We're going to rerun Halloween night's programming. The chat went down to the point where it wouldn't work at all. And I thought, you know, for the horror hosts who contributed shows, Baron Varn Porkchop, who's running now with White Zombie, and, of course, my guest, the creator of Graveyard Tales, Toby Cooper, is here with us today. Say, hey, Terry, Toby.
Hey, Dale.
Twice they got you with Terry. It's because you're from Sammy Terry country. I know it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, you got your show re-premiering, so to speak, tonight at about 8:30, yeah, maybe a little after. It'll be on after some horror host skits and a tribute to some classic horror hosts like Zachary, who passed last week.
Yeah, I saw that. That's sad.
So, kind of unfair to ask you how things went with the problems that the channel was having, but how do you feel having the first show under your belt? It's done. It's out there. People have seen it.
Yes. A lot of weight and stress, frustration is lifted off the shoulders of this guy. As you know, it took a long, you went back and forth about the struggles of trying to get that thing edited and getting a computer and a program. Finally got it out there and got it to you. And live on, you know, on Eerie House TV, and people tuning in and seeing, like, all the hard work I put in for it. And you and me both promoting the show and stuff. It feels really good. I really appreciate it.
So, obviously, you felt it was worth the effort. We're going to see more Graveyard Tales. And have you picked your second movie yet?
Oh, yeah. Definitely going to see more Graveyard Tales and hopefully less gap in between each one. The next episode, show on episode 2, will be The Screaming Skull.
Ooh, a favorite of mine. I've talked about it here on the air, and I just shared with Toby, the memory I had of watching it back in the day when it was on the Ghoul Show. A lot of fun. That's a memory I shared here already, so we won't bore the audience again with that. But it's exciting. I'm sure you've met other people. Have you talked to any other hosts and anybody giving you encouragement or good ideas or anything like that going on?
I've talked to you, obviously. Bobby Gamma Monster, he's helped me out a lot from day one. G. Graves has been really, really good to me as far as helping me with things, you know, like do this, do that, maybe not do this, don't do that. He's been a good friend, you know, along the way, same as you. Talked to Joe Bob Briggs last year. Go ahead.
Did you really? You got to talk to Joe Bob?
Yeah, up at the, I believe it was Days of Dead or Horror Hound, I can't remember, up in Indy. I talked to him about some of the stuff and back and forth on some emails. So, yeah, I've had a lot of cool people I've talked to.
You'll meet more, especially going to some of these trade shows we're lurking about. Hopefully either I'll make it to your neck of the woods or you'll make it up towards Cleveland, and I'd like to meet you in person. Be a lot of good
definitely.
Time.
Yes.
Beware when horror hosts get together. Look out. Magical things happen. it was kind of a nail biter getting it there in time for Halloween. Glad that you finished it up. There's always a learning curve, you know. You do stuff and then you look at it and go, oh man, I could add this or I could do this or I could approach it this way. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, as you're finding out, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. learn as you go. Like you said before, you'll see things you wish you'd done a little different and so forth. But
yeah,
hard to keep doing it and keep doing it and get better at your craft.
I'm looking forward to the cast of characters that you've been talking about too. I love Dewey.
Yes. Oh yeah, Dewey.
He's your pet pain in the butt, huh?
Yes, Dewey. You'll be seeing more of him and Bones periodically throughout it, but you'll be seeing more of Dewey in episode 2.
Cool. We got some folks listening here in the chat room. Evil Annie Reppert, a faithful listener. Thank you, Evil Annie. And guests 725 and 727 who have chosen to remain anonymous.
Ooh.
Ooh. There's people spying on us. I hope.
Yep.
Hey, puts money in the coffers.
There you go.
there's quite a few public domain movies to choose from, you know, the ones that won't give you trouble and Screaming Skull's fun. There's a lot to play with there. Again, depending on your approach as a horror host, there's just a lot to do with that. It's a classic film, and I think it's one of the better PD movies out there.
Yeah.
You don't really get to see a screaming skull through a whole lot of the movie. But...
yeah.
No, and it's, the music scared me as a kid. You know what I mean? That.
Yeah.
It's not an overly scary movie, but it's a little atmospheric, and that music was pretty creepy. Of course, when you're little, everything is magnified, you know.
Right. Especially I was watching the trailer earlier today because I was going through and picking what I want to do, and I looked at the trailer, and even the way the trailer was set up, and like you're saying, the music, some of the special effects for that time, the imposing of the skull on, you know, some of the faces and things, that seemed like ahead of its time for the time period that I was shot in.
Yeah, not too bad. And I like the movie. The guy who plays the creep in it is also the creep husband from 50-Foot Woman. The guy who was cheating on his wife. It's the same actor.
Yeah.
I forget his name right now. It eludes me. But same dude played in that. You'll see a lot of them, especially like the Corman films from the late 50s. He recycled a lot of the actors and in some cases shot a couple of the movies at the same time.
I didn't know that.
There's three of them. He filmed down towards Puerto Rico and cranked them all out. And most of those are in public domain, so you'll have a lot to choose from in there. They're all fun. Fans of horror movies and horror hosts love them, so it'll be good. How long have you been planning, like, to do a show? When did it first occur to you, you know what, I'd like to do this horror host thing?
Well, like I said last time on here, it started as an idea on a napkin back in 2009, I believe. And it all just kind of stayed in the back of my mind. Like a lot of artists have, you know, artists put things in their back of their mind, I'll do this later. And some stuff never ends up getting done. But I'm so into the genre and like the history of it. Like you said, Sammy Terry Country, looking at, you know, old YouTube videos of, I mean, just anywhere. Like, you know, Elvira, Joe Bob Briggs, anybody like that. I just, like I told you before, Halloween is 365 in my head and in my life. So I was like, well, I'll just get up and do it. So I built that set, and it took me forever to get everything set up, but it's up and going now.
It does take a passion. You got to put your time, your effort, your love into it. And when you do love what you're doing, it really shows. And I had mentioned that before, but I can't say it enough. It's a beautiful thing.
There's some people who I would describe the show to And, like, when I first got Slash's gloves, I mean, they're so bee, you know. They're just like a pair of brown material with some latex things on and a couple patches of hair. Like, that looks kind of stupid. I was like, that's the whole point of it. And it only goes up to my elbow. And, you know, and they didn't understand the whole concept when I was pitching this stuff to them. Like, let me tell you what I want to do. Like, yeah, I really don't get it. After I finally got it all laid out and they seen it on film, like, oh, I get it now. So it's, it makes me kind of sit back and I see it in my mind. But if you don't follow it, if you don't, you know, if you're not involved in it, you can't understand it. So, I mean, I kind of get that now from some people's point of view.
See, now you're telling me you're a good producer. I think to put out a quality product, and trust me, I believe that you have. And you know what I mean? It's going to be exciting to see what's going to come next from you and from Slash, who I understand we're going to talk to a little bit later on.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Going to drop
he's
by,
out in the cave right now. Yeah, he's outside.
Yeah,
the
he's
cave.
Out in the cave. Yeah, that's a good place to keep him sometimes.
he's a little moody today.
He's moody? Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's a little moody.
Uh-oh. We better watch for Slash.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he'll be watching... watching tonight on Erie House TV, and that'll improve his mood a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Viewership, man. He likes that.
Now, of the internet hosts that you've seen, do you have any favorites or any that you are gravitating towards or, you know, the new era?
I used to follow Ms. Monster. And she stopped doing stuff for a while, but I saw where she was going to pick, you know, start doing stuff again. And then I watched, I can't remember his name right now, the Count.
Gordoval?
He started out on Access TV a long time ago, and he was like the true first internet horror host. I can't remember his name right now.
That's him. That's Count Gordoval. He was the first one to go out on the internet, and he's from the D.C. area.
Yes, that's right.
First one on television, get ready for this. You ready, Toby? He started in 1971.
Sure. Wait, what? Go
yes,
back.
Yes. Count Gore Duvall started on television in the D.C. area in 1971.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. He's been around that long. He's still very popular, got a great following, and a decent fella. He goes down to Horror Hound, which is in your neck of the woods. So,
yeah. He corresponded with me with a couple emails as well, tried to help me when I first got the stuff laid out and ideas. I kind of pitched to him. He said, like the idea to stay. I think he said, stay true to yourself, and like you're saying, your product will shine.
Yeah, because there's been copycat horror hosts around, some on regular TV, and some on the internet too, and. It's hard to say if somebody's truly copied or not. Sometimes there is parallel creative levels, you know what I mean? Creative vibes,
right.
If you will. But
I had a guy,
as long as you're
not
deliberately pirating somebody.
Yeah, and I had a guy email me yesterday on Facebook, and he was talking about he tuned in on Halloween night last Monday and said my show was awesome. He says, like, totally like a new, like a fresh, you know, fresh air and everything, because it's not someone. And I'm not knocking anybody who's just painting their face up and talking with an accent or something like this, you know. I try to be a little different, you know. I want something, someone to kind of pull you in, a little watch a little bit, and if you're having fun with it, good. I mean, I just kind of want to be different, which I think I've done that. But
now with that message that you got, isn't that the coolest thing in the world? Where somebody actually likes something you put your heart and soul into. And somebody actually takes some time out to tell you that they enjoyed it, man. I that makes it all worthwhile, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Bob J. Minion. He's supposedly my biggest fan. He wanted Slash to send him some pictures and an autograph, and Slash got that out there to him. So I appreciate that, too.
I'm horrible at that. I don't know if I'm just that self-conscious. Maybe it might be why I've never had a costume or anything like that, but... I still have pending requests out for autographs, and it's like, geez, I don't own any. I'll have to go out and have some taken or something, you know what I mean? I mean, I have this little internet stuff, but I don't have the greatest printer in the world, and I'd hate to send somebody a piece of crap, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of weird like that. Well, I'm weird like a lot of ways, but that's one of them.
I get you, man.
I've been told I should promote myself more. Right now, I really want to do the Eerie House thing and promote others. Yeah, I'll throw my shows on there. I put one on last night. One of my the last show I did. I hosted "I Eat Your Skin." That was a fun one to do.
Yeah, I seen it on the schedule, the lineup, but I did not tune in. Had to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of us do have to work for a living, don't we?
Yes, that's part of it.
Yeah. But it's all good, man. You get to come home, wind down, and mess with your horrors. Do you have any Halloween was last week. Do you have any stuff that you have to watch? What is your must-watch TV at Halloween time?
Watch TV. Let me see.
Yeah, do you dig out any old DVDs, or is there stuff that you, like, absolutely have to see every year?
Well, I mean, like I said, that stuff's all year long. But, I mean, I like to watch, just to get the feel, I'll put the old Halloweens in, the Friday 13th, and, like, Nightmare on Elm Street. I have Twilight Zone. I have that complete series. I like to watch that. Sammy Terry just started doing another special a couple years ago. It's been airing on TV as well, so I recorded that and watched it. But I throw in the Munsters and the Addams Family. It's just all the stuff that's related to it, you know?
Yeah, and I know it's hard to ask a horror host that because we do love this stuff all year long. But there's certain movies that and shows for Halloween that are special to me. I have to see Great Pumpkin, you know, with Charlie Brown. I have to dig out the Universal films, and for the first time this year, I put them put all the classic Universals or, well, I also threw the Frederick March, Dr. Jekyll, and Mr. Hyde in the mix, and trying to watch them in the order they were released. You know what I mean? Starting in 1931 with Dracula and going from there. And I just wrapped up Ghost of Frankenstein last night, so I'm pretty much done with the.
Nice. I remember when I was a kid, stuff like Disney's Sleepy Hollow, the cartoon, it would come on.
Yeah.
I would watch that every year, and Halloween is Grinch Night. I remember we used to watch the crap out of that when I was a kid. Did you ever see that?
Oh, I love the Grinch with the one that's narrated by Karloff, you mean?
Not that one, no. There's also another one called
The Grinch Halloween
Grinch
Special.
Night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, someone just tagged me.
Like
they posted it on Facebook. Paulzilla Knight tagged me on that. He posted it not long ago.
I like that.
That was a fun,
like that. That's a good
fun show. They got Hans Conried to do the voice of the Grinch for that one.
I don't know. Who is that? Who is Hans Conried?
Oh, gosh. He did so many cartoons and other character appearances. What's the best thing that maybe you'd recognize his voice? I'm trying to think.
I should know this since my thing's animation. I should know this, but you got me stumped on this.
Oh gosh! It's Google time.
Speaking of that, because
I could picture him, and I remember him in the movie The Twonky, but I'm trying to think of something more common that most people would connect to. Here, we'll pull up his IMDb and get his credits because he had a very distinctive voice. It wasn't like a deep voice like Ernie Anderson or any of those, but. Gosh, he did so much stuff. He was in. He was Wrong Way Feldman on Gilligan's Island. I remember that. That crazy pilot that crashed on the. On
I
the island.
With Gilligan. Yeah, I vaguely remember it.
Oh gosh, he played Snidely Whiplash and Dudley Do-Right.
Really? I didn't play
He did a lot of voices. This is where I remember him from a lot. He did a lot of the voices for Rocky and his friends. For Rocky and Bullwinkle. And again, playing Snidely Whiplash in the Dudley Do-Right segments. But he did other voices, too. He did Oh, my gosh. He even did voiceovers in some old films. He was Wally Walrus on Woody Woodpecker.
Ooh. Okay. Woody Woodpecker show.
He's got a million credits. It goes back to old-time radio, too. On Peter Pan, he was the voice of Captain Hook.
Disney?
Yeah, the cartoon. The 1953.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah, Hans Conried. He was a neat dude. Have you ever seen The Twonky? That's a good movie that he was in. He gets this TV that's actually an alien. And it's messing with him.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's a kind of an obscure film, but a good one that you need to see. He played in The Real McCoys. A lot of characters on the old Red Skelton show. The Red Skelton Hour from the 50s and 60s. Wonder if any of those are PD. Because, you know, on Erie House TV, we show some television.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Make Room for Daddy, Hippity Hopper. That was a cartoon series with Professor Waldo Wigglesworth. He was the voice of
man,
that.
Man, TV sucks today. These cartoons today suck. I mean, I don't know. I just hate TV today.
Oh, I know. It was so much fun back in the 60s and 70s. And even into the 80s, it was still fun.
Yeah, because I grew up in the 80s, and I was getting the stuff the 80s was producing, pumping out, and I got a lot of reruns, like Pink Panther, Woody Woodpecker, Flintstones, all that kind of stuff. Now, a lot of people don't know who those people are. Like Tom and Jerry, they say Tom and Jerry's too violent now and politically correct. Same with Warner Brothers and, you know, Looney Tunes and Daffy Duck and all that stuff. It's not. I mean, it shows you how butthurt society gets. That's how it is.
Oops.
But
oh, I know.
And episode. I don't want to go off on that rant.
We got a caller here that's joining us, and it sounds like 66. Hey, welcome to Erie House Radio.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Did you get a chance to see Flash's show on Halloween?
I couldn't get in. So
there were troubles. There were troubles. So we're showing it again tonight,
like,
66. Stop by.
Oh, are you? Cool. I'll try to get in. I went in last night, but I got booted a couple times. So I just got mad and left.
Yeah, it's running real
sometimes
nice today
like
in
that.
The chat. There's no lag, and he'll be on around 8:30.
I'm telling you. Well, on the Vortex, they changed there somehow, but it's got this weird popping noise every, you know, like Facebook does every time someone makes a comment. I hate that. And you can't shut it off. You know what I mean? I was on there about 5 minutes. I said, I'm out of here. That thing will bug me to death.
People complain about live stream, but it's still the best thing for this kind of programming, and people who have come back to it that have left, less than surprisingly, and but it doesn't work well all the time, but for now it's one of the best. Venues for this kind of broadcasting and allows us to make it look like
my
old
internet
TV.
Is spotty, kind of, you know. So some of it's a little bit me, it's a little bit them, it's, you know, probably some of all. So
well,
whatever.
And the thing of it is, and I'm sure Toby would agree, like horror hosts were not meant to be perfect anyway.
No, it's making fun of yourself. It's spoofing. It's punning yourself. That's the thing. Nothing serious about anything of it. You know, it's supposed to look low budget. It's supposed to be like, hey, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm still doing it. That's why my fog machine quit. So
TV
I
or
into
yeah.
The show.
Or, dude, I'm just the weatherman. They made me do this. They used to.
Yeah.
Get roped into it. And some of them turn out to be great, though, you know?
So right. 66, would you like to meet Slash? I believe he's Toby, is Slash around here at all?
Yeah, I can go get him real quick.
Okay. Slash. He's hanging around in the dark room.
Well, what's cool is Slash, is that his name or is that a verb? I want to know.
It's both.
I can't see over the phone.
Hey, Dale, how you doing, old pal, buddy of mine?
Hey, Slash.
Hey.
Welcome to Erie House.
Hey, what's up? Hey, thank you, brother. What's going on?
Hey, we're all excited for your show tonight at 8:30 on 8:30 Eastern on Erie House TV.
That's right, the re-debut of yours truly.
Cool, cool. I got to see.
Tell them what movie he's on.
Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's my old pal, Dewey.
Oh, Ed Wood. Very
oh,
Ed
yes.
Woodian of you.
That's
gotta
right,
love it.
Ed Wood.
We got Wood on Erie House.
Whoa.
Ed D. Wood. I hope it don't stand for Dad.
No.
Yeah, they do.
What kind of show you running here, Dale?
I don't know. It's getting out of control. In fact, so far out of control, J.K. has called in. Hi, J.K. Welcome to Erie House.
Hi, Dale. Hi, Flash. How are you?
Pretty good, brother. What's going on?
Hi, J.K.
Not much. Hey, hi, 6-6. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Yeah,
thank
I'm
you.
Just, I'm calling. I'm very excited about the new show. Can't wait to watch it all in its entirety again tonight. You know, I promised Dale to call in with my Doctor Strange review. I saw it today, and I figured I'd be the official movie reviewer for the show today.
Nice.
Do it.
Oh,
do it up. How was it?
I would tell you that this is maybe the best movie I've seen in 2 years.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it's absolute. The stuff you see on TV, the effects, forget it. I saw it in 3D IMAX. It just rocked my world. It was great. And Benedict Cumberbatch's superhero lead character performance since Robert Downey Jr.'s first Iron Man appearance.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
it was,
yeah,
it,
very
it,
cool.
It knocked me on my butt, and it was dead on perfect, and I can't wait to see the rest of it. It was so well done. And it's not like you're it has a real cookie cutter feeling the first 5-10 minutes, you're sitting there sort of like, oh, I kind of know what they're going to do. And, you know, I'm not, my expectations went low. And then all of a sudden it just starts rolling. And there really is no moment in this movie where I sat back and said, oh, this doesn't work. It was the director and the writers need just kudos. They did an outstanding job.
Well,
now,
there's a lot of good material there to work with if you know what you know how to treat it.
I've read a lot of Doctor Strange 6-6, and I got to tell you, to their credit, they really kind of did their own thing and without screwing it up. They actually did something different cinematically and story-wise. And,
fresh,
you know,
though.
Used,
fresh.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
just...
they used the stuff, the old stuff as a basis, and they made it new, and it's just, it was absolutely outstanding.
But that's basically what Iron Man did, you know, in his own way, with the stuff in the cave and the weird, you know.
It worked great. I can't tell you how much I would tell you. I have been very down on 3D movies because, I don't know, after the first 5 minutes, your eyes adjust and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like your eyes are bleeding or something.
No, your eyes adjust and you don't see the 3D as well anymore. But I would say, to spend the extra couple of bucks and see this in 3D. If you don't have an IMAX theater, regular 3D, you'll do it.
Well, they quit that cheesy, like, pointing something at the screen, you know, to poke at you and stuff. I mean, that was so, you know, stop.
Well, we've come a long way since then. Also, we've also come a long way in how much the ticket prices were. It was like 40 bucks for it was ridiculous. But, hey, we had a good time.
Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. With like a little less than a minute or so to go here, I want to thank, first, my very special guest, Toby Cooper, and his top-notch actor, Slash, for stopping in here. also,
you're welcome,
66. Man. And J.K., thanks for calling in and sharing and stuff. If you all would like, stick around for bonus time, an extra 15 minutes that's, unfortunately, is not live, but fortunately is preserved in the archives for folks who want to listen to the show later. And
I can hang around.
Can hear us talking about them secretly and privately and saying all these horrible things.
Yeah. No, but you guys were talking about the politically correct thing. That is merely fascism. That's what it is. It's an attempt to control what you can say, what you can think. It's such crap.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a way to look at it.
I do not
well,
like censorship.
I
want to
thank the
and, you know,
regular
it's...
listeners and the folks in the chat real quick. Again, thanks, Evil Annie Ruppert, and the two numbered guests who are anonymous. See you next time on
One of
them
is me.
So. Bye-bye.
God, I climbed up on a soapbox. No, but I hate that stuff.
Hey. Okay, we're in bonus time.
Hey,
I made it my life work to be politically incorrect, haven't you? I mean, I strive for it now that they gripe about it.
You're kidding, 66. I thought you were as pure as the driven snow.
Oh, yeah, but I got drove. Pure as the driven
drifted.
Flesh. I drifted.
Yeah, I have my Zachary story if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, JK had promised a Zachary story. We were talking in the chat on Erie House TV, and I want to hear your Zachary story in honor of his recent passing.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. We'll start from it's not as I would love it to be like an epic story, but it's a nice story. When I was a younger man in my early 20s, I had a dealer friend. His name was Tom Rogers. And
when
Tom
you say
was
dealer,
a,
what are you talking about?
No, dealer like a convention dealer. This is where Dale's mind goes, and I know 66 is his mind.
Mine
right
did too.
Him.
I'm sorry.
Listen, it's the company you keep. The judge of me by the company you keep. Politically correct, the dirty-minded people. So we used to work the chiller conventions and various other science fiction conventions, and this is about 25 years ago, and he used to sell photographs of the stars from TV shows and stuff like that. Still photographs, collectible, still photographs. And our table was two tables away from Zachary's table, where he was working with the dealer, as an attraction for that dealer, signing autographs and helping that guy do some business. And, being that his table was two tables away, over the years, we did the winter, the Halloween convention, the summer convention, spring convention every year. And mm-hmm. over the years, we got to kind of be a little bit friendly with him, the dealers that he was working with. And one night, we all went out to dinner. The dealers all went together and had, like 10 guys, and who tagged along with the dealers, Zachary. So I'm like a 22-year-old kid. And I'm at a table eating French onion soup with the one of my idols, Zachary.
And I'll tell you, wow!
Yeah, and I would love to tell you that he talked a lot, but at this point, it was a long day. If you've ever been at a convention, it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and it ends at like 8, 7:30 at 8 o'clock at night. And by the time we were at dinner, it was at least 9, 9:30. And Zach was in his 70s at this point, and he just kind of sat there and ordered his food and had his soup. And I would love to tell you that he talked about that, and most of the dealers talked money and talked, traveling and stuff like that.
But
at the end of dinner, we were making our way through the parking lot, and this guy and his wife run up to Zachary, and he goes, "Oh, Zachary, I loved your show when I was a kid." It was this guy's in his 50s, and when I was a kid, I loved your show, and you're just the best. They need to put you back on television. And Zachary just shook the guy's hand and smiling, and the guy left him alone and walked away. And I had been walking behind Zach by about 10 feet, but by the time these people walked away, I had caught up to him, and he turned around to me and he said, "My show hasn't been on TV for about 30 years, and people still come up to me and tell me they love it." And I said, "Well, it's because it was fun." And he said to me, "My boy, it was more fun than a casket full of cadavers." And that's a story.
That's awesome.
It was a pretty, I'll tell you, the guy, it was a hello and how are you kind of relationship over the years. I would say we did conventions for at least 7 or 8 years, twice a year. And he was there all the time. And it's just a gentleman. That's the way I would describe the guy. It's a gentleman, and we're greater for the experience of what he did,
Yeah.
It's just a testament to something that Toby and I were talking about earlier broached it many, many times on this channel, both in its current form and in previous form, that just the death of local TV and the growth of corporate America really killed that spirit of fun. I think even the programming.
Your local
done
horror
local
host, yeah.
Well,
local,
not even
local people.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
the local
in New York,
shows, especially the horror host.
We had
for
no
us.
Hosts after the Creep left TV in the early 70s. And, mm-hmm. The the high polloi program directors in New York City were above that kind of television, but I don't know, I loved it.
A lot of people have, obviously, so.
Right. I think it's coming back. God bless the internet.
Amen. Well, that's the purpose of Erie House and other channels like it. Excuse me.
Everybody okay?
Oh, yeah.
I'll live, not well. But I'll live. Tobacco. Must need another cigarette. There's too much oxygen in here. No, I'm serious. I have to reach a certain level of toxicity to operate at peak performance.
Right. It's
I hear you.
Nicotine and Merlot. Is that it? Is that it?
Yeah, something like that. That's what I tell my boss.
Is the wife making any more cake tonight, Dale?
Oh, she hasn't made any since that night. Yeah, those chocolates.
See, where I come from, that's grounds for divorce.
Oh. Oh, believe me, there's so many more. But
hey, nobody doesn't like Sara Lee.
True. I still think it's a conspiracy because I am a type 2 here. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll make cakes. I'll make 10 of them here.
Mm-hmm. Let me add some those sugar sprinkles on top, too.
Probably can't wait to film my diabetic seizure and put it on
it
YouTube.
With this Kool-Aid. I put in 2 cups of sugar.
I just told her, look, if I have a diabetic seizure, film it, put it on YouTube.
God, yes, you go viral.
It's a horror show, damn it.
Something morbidly not funny about that tale.
A horror host has to die to get truly famous.
That's right. I will stop at no lengths to entertain.
It died with
my donkey story.
So Toby's bringing out another Graveyard Tales with Screaming Skull. We can probably expect to see that in a week or two, no?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I'm going to say 2 weeks. Have everything done, yeah. Maybe before that.
Awesome. We'll definitely put a place on the schedule for that.
So tonight the movie is what?
Plan 9.
Plan 9.
We're just talking about Heaven Wood. That's right.
I will tell you that Plan 9 is such a perfect, appropriate movie to pick for your first sojourn into hosting. It's a movie that I, even though it's so bad, I can watch over and over again because the intent is there. The intent of Ed Wood trying to make a good monster movie is there, and it has a little bit of charm to it.
You can feel the enthusiasm of it, huh? The enthusiasm,
right.
Like, if everybody else is as enthusiastic about this as me, it'll be, it'll go over great.
Right,
you got to listen for that.
It's got a charm to it that the bad movies that they make now, I don't see it.
No, they're still not the same, and they don't have the same heart. You know,
here's my spin on that. Here's my spin on that as an older guy and something of a horror host and a horror fan. Today, with all the technology, there's no excuse for crappy movies.
Absolutely right.
Back in the day, they had to be far more imaginative to do the effects, to write the stories. They spent far more time on character development, and you cared about the actors and or actresses in the movie. Or the monster sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dale, I think what happens is that these movies are made by people, by committee, by study group, by computer, right, demographic of who they want to get in a movie theater.
What's the most money we can grab for the least effort in any area?
And not promoting bad habits. I mean, there's so much restriction to the creative process anymore.
Yeah.
With all the big, like you said, a giant corporation that wants, it's all down to dollars and cents. There's not, we don't want any creativity unless, you know, you like Joss Whedon that did The Cabin in the Woods. He only got to do that because he had pool. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it's all remakes and sequels and garbage.
Yep.
And they're out of ideas, really. They're making movies based on video games, and that's
yeah, but there should
about,
never
you know,
be a dearth of ideas. They don't want to pay anybody with any creativity brain. They want some drone they can control.
Yeah,
you know, not
sadly.
Take a risk on anything.
although this is kind of contradictory to me coming in and telling you I've seen the best movie I've seen in 2 years today. So that's rare.
That's the exception.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's the exception, not the rule.
Exactly. I love Marvel movies. I go see a lot of them. But the last good one was Guardians of the Galaxy, and the ones that have come since, which was I lost track of what they are. Even Age of Ultron, which was horrible, and then they did Captain America: Civil War, which is supposed to be, everyone's reviewing it, saying this is so much better. And I was sitting there going, who thinks this is good? Yeah. This makes no sense, you know. So
yeah,
maybe I'm a hard marker, but I don't think so.
I like Guardians of the Galaxy. It was kind of fresh in its own little way, you know.
It was, right, but Captain America: Civil War, the last act, the motivation.
I haven't seen that one yet.
You gotta watch the first two parts of it, and then when it gets close to the end, shut it off. This way, you don't get disappointed.
You know,
well,
it's
the Age
funny,
of Ultron. To me, there was parts of that that had kind of big holes too. For me,
yeah, and it was
ultimately
disappointing because Whedon had made the first Avengers movie, which I loved, and then he made the second one, which was just crap. So
I agree. I thought so too.
Only prayer is please don't do another Howard the Duck. Just please. Let it be. Just let it go.
They need to let a lot of things go. And look what they did to Green Lantern. That was awful too.
Yeah.
Oh,
but listen, and anybody who thinks this Batman versus Superman, I mean, wow.
And Batman, that one, I don't even want to rent that piece of shit. I'm just going to wait till it comes on something I already have.
So hold back. How do you really feel?
I can't say that word. You mean peace?
Yeah.
I thought she was talking about naval vessels, like ships.
Mm.
that movie Battleship. Oh, my God, was that awful.
Battleship?
Did you see that? God. As if that old tub would have a spitting chance against the alien ships. It's just so dumb.
I fortunately saved my money.
Listen, I'm hanging up. I'm going to go get Oreos.
Oh, no. Don't do this to me.
Sorry,
I want Oreos.
All right, I'll make popcorn instead. But I'm going to
All right,
get
JK,
Oreos.
We'll
Bye.
See you in the chat.
I'll see you in the chat. Nice meeting you. And I'll talk to you guys later.
Good one.
Bye, JK.
All right, bye-bye. Well, he's pretty much just in time. We got about a minute and a half left, and they're going to cut us off randomly. So if it ends abruptly and I'll suddenly you don't hear me, I didn't get bored with you and kick you to the curb or anything like that. I don't get the British chick telling me how much time we have left, so I got to kind of keep an eye on the computer and keep sort of a mental count.
Yeah,
and I am mental.
She is a little bit snooty, ain't she? I'm sorry, but y'all are... You don't work for virtual, do you?
She's so dictatorial. You have 5 seconds. Like, well, what if I wanted 10?
Yeah. You are now in the queue.
To tell me how
you
to run my
queue.
Show.
Yeah.
Stupid broad trying to tell
Pop
me how to run my show.
Pop in on
you
like queue.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Well, listen, thanks, guys, and thanks especially... Toby, I will see you guys in Erie House TV.
All right,
okay, see you tonight.
All right, bye-bye, guys. Thanks, listeners.